for old time's sake, yes or no, would you like to be leader of the National Party at some point?
No, I'm just focused on what I'm doing. I'm one of those people that do it day by day, job by job.
I'll save this clip and come back to it in 5 or 10 years. We'll see how it's aged.
The Wire.
The Gary Weir Legacy Award for Human Rights is a funding program from Amnesty International Aotearoa. I spoke to community manager Margie Taylor about the award and started off our interview asking Taylor about its purpose. Here is that interview.
The Gary Weir Legacy Award is a funding program from Amnesty International Aotearoa New Zealand, and it's designed to ensure that young people with great ideas about protecting and promoting human rights receive up to $4,500 funding for that great idea. And of course that's been made possible by the Ware family, who are an amazing family of activists who have gifted us that money annually.
How did this funding program start?
Gary Weir, who was a long-standing member of Amnesty International here in New Zealand, he died doing what he loved best. He died planting trees on Mount Maunganui. And but he had been a man who supported youth advocacy over many, many years with us here at Amnesty. And to remember him best, he and his family joined with Amnesty International and committed to an annual fund of $4,500 for youth endeavours. So that's really how it happened.
What are some notable initiatives that the award has supported?
Well, we've had three great applicants, and the first was a wonderful bunch of high school students who created a really compelling documentary about human trafficking here in New Zealand. That's a group called KiwiA. In 2021, we funded Vera Pucky, who's a New Zealander from a refugee background, and she's working to support young people who have sought refuge in Aotearoa so that they can resettle better here. And then last year's recipients, there were two recipients, Josh McCormack. He used his funding to develop the very coolly named Sex Outside the City, which aims to improve health outcomes for our rainbow community and Takatapui people in rural regional Aotearoa. And then, of course, he co-won that with Kachin Neef, who used her funding to run an art exhibition, but to raise awareness about the Bunuban communities whose lives have been devastated by phosphate mining in Granby Island. And through that work, we found out that New Zealand took a lot of that phosphate and it benefited New Zealand farmers, but it devastated the Bunuban community.
And why is it important to Amnesty International to uplift youth voices in Aotearoa?
Because youth voices are powerful, they are great at speaking truth to power, and nearly always what they lack is not ideas and knowledge and inspiration, it's funding. So we would like to ensure that they have the opportunity to make the world a more fair and sustainable place, and we have infinite trust in their ability to do so, and all they need is the money, and we can give them that.
And if people have an idea that they want to put forward, how can they apply for the award?
Sure, they can apply by going onto our website, www.amnesty.org.nz/award, and there's a very easy four-question form that they can fill out. And I'm also a phone call or an email away if they've got any questions. So we look forward to any number of entries. They can apply multiple times. We're just looking for great ideas that we can help fund. The only requirement effectively is great ideas, be under the age of 25 when you apply and live in Aotearoa, New Zealand. That's it.
I also spoke to participant Katya Neef about her experience. I started off the interview asking Neve about what human rights initiative she was able to achieve with the funding.
So I was honored to receive the Gary Weir Legacy Award last year alongside Josh McCormack to support our two different projects. So my idea was just in its brainstorming stage when I applied, and it was to shed a light on Bunuba. And many people don't know where or what Bunuba is, but the displacement of Bunubans from Bunuba Island to Granby Island and Fiji due to phosphate mining is a history often too forgotten. And to this day, Bunubans on Granby face discrimination as a partially self-governing entity falling between the cracks of two jurisdictions, Fiji and Kiribati. So these stories have been told but remain largely unheard by audiences in Aotearoa, where the colonial benefits of phosphate mining allowed the British to advance colonization as well as kickstart New Zealand's now prosperous agricultural sector. So we use phosphate in farming, in our agriculture, and that's why we are where we are today, because of the Pacific. And my project wanted to use art and storytelling as a powerful way of building capacity and also sharing the stories and amplifying the voices by bringing communities, youth, artists, activists, and creatives together and sharing the stories with their wider audiences. So yeah, that's a little bit about my project.
Can you tell us how your idea has progressed since receiving this funding?
So through Amnesty Aotearoa and the Gary Ware Legacy Award, we were able to launch the Justice for Rambi, the Story of Banaba exhibit, which was held at Silo 6 in March this year. And so the recent update is an Australian mining company unlawfully signed an agreement to mine Banaba Island, again, without the consent and permission of Indigenous and ancestral landowners. And I was recently on Rambi Island in Fiji a few weeks ago, where the Banabans were relocated to, as 90% of their ancestral land, Banaba, was mined by Australia, New Zealand, and Britain. And it was really shocking to see that this could happen again. And it was a real possibility that a mining company will come in. So we campaigned and started a petition and got international media recognition with the help of the connections and the awareness we started through our project and exhibit earlier this year. And thanks to Amnesty International, we were able to have the stories covered in international media and here in Aotearoa, which caused the Australian mining company, which is called Centrex, to publicly announce that they're pausing the agreement. So the work is, however, not finished, as we want to stop any mining from happening ever again. But it just goes to show that even a small exhibit can raise awareness and can even stop a mining company from progressing through awareness and through our networks and through relationships.
What did it mean to you to be able to receive this funding to raise awareness about this issue?
Yeah, it was incredible, and I felt really extremely privileged because I already had a relationship with the Banabin community on Rambi and here in Auckland in Tamaki Makaurau. So it meant a lot to be able to support them, as I wanted to make sure that in Aotearoa and New Zealand we know our own history, and it also allowed the community to feel represented and seen. So it meant a lot that we got the funding to support this exhibit and also to fund and support our advocacy efforts.
Why do you think that it's important to have a program like this, or to be able to tell stories from the perspective of young people or from the perspective of communities that often aren't heard?
Yeah, I think it's important that communities are able to voice their own stories, because I think oftentimes other voices can dominate the narrative. And I think we need to give the platforms to youth, to different communities, to share their stories so they are able to represent themselves and they can control the narrative that comes out. So we found it really important that youth were able to be involved, because often youth don't get to share their opinions, their stories. And it was really important for communities, especially here, Banaban communities here, because they're often not represented. And most people wouldn't even know who Banabans are or that there's even a Banaban community in Auckland. So that was really important for us.
Has this program inspired you or motivated you to want to do more advocacy in the future?
Yes, yeah, so I am constantly involved in whatever Amnesty International is doing. I am becoming more involved in different advocacy groups, working with different communities. And I'm now working at an international human rights organization through the work and through the project. So it has been incredible to learn from an organization and to have their support, because when you're involved in the project and you get the funding, Amnesty International also put themselves behind you to support you. So for example, I had no connections to any media or any other organizations that would be amazing to connect with, and they just reached out and extended a helping hand in any way that I needed.
And what would your message be to someone who has a story to tell who might be considering applying for the award?
Yes, so I would definitely recommend to apply if you're really passionate about human rights or want to share your story and help support your community, because I believe that Amnesty International aims to uplift youth and any issues around Indigenous rights, climate justice, gender equality, LGBT plus rights. And this can be in any medium, so it's very flexible, it's all-encompassing. For example, you can do an exhibit like what I did, you can do an event, a social media campaign, a workshop, anything that is creative and looking for positive impact. And I wasn't sure I was going to get it when I first applied, just because I was just at the beginning. I only had an idea and I wasn't sure where it would go. But I realized that with passion, with the right people behind you, you can achieve great things. So I definitely think it's really worth applying and getting together with other people, because if you're surrounded by people with shared visions and also wanting to support different communities, you can also work together and combine your talents and your different skills.
That was Amnesty International Community Manager Margie Taylor and award participant Katya Neef discussing the Gary Ware Legacy Award for Human Rights. And applications for the award close on October 31st if you're interested in applying.